This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today we continue our discussion with the topic loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we're going to discuss the 10 ways to increase your love for Allah azza wa jal. And at the same time, these 10 ways are also matters that earn the believer the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these 10 ways were mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. So we'll be sharing his work bi-ithnillahi ta'ala and explaining each one of them insha'Allahu ta'ala. We ask Allah azza wa jal to accept our gathering. We ask Allah azza wa jal to forgive our sins, our shortcomings. And we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability and the strength that we continue to make mention of him, dhikr of him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and continue to worship him. And we ask Allah azza wa jal to grant us his pleasure. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayh. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the first way that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned that increases your love for Allah azza wa jal is reading the Quran and pondering and reflecting over its meanings. Allahu Akbar. And so, you know, there was a man in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that earned the love of Allah by reading only one surah of the Quran, by loving only one surah. And this is the hadith of Aisha, Ummul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu anha. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent a group of people. They went out, and among this group of people, there was a companion who would lead the prayers. And every time he led the salat, he would say, Allahu Akbar. He would read Surah Al-Fatiha. He would read a surah after that. And then he would read Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. And then he would go into ruku'ah. And he'd do the exact same thing for the second rak'ah. He'll read Surah Al-Fatiha and then a surah. And then he would read Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. After that, the entire Surah Al-Ikhlas. And then he'll go into ruku'ah. And he did this for every salat. He would pray imam with his companions. So then the companions were worried. What is this person doing? He's doing something they have never heard of before. They have never learnt before. So when they went back to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, a person among us, when he led the salat, he would read Surah Al-Fatiha and a surah, and every rak'ah just before he makes ruku'ah, he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to these companions, go and ask him, سَلُوهُ لِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ يَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ. Go and ask him, why does he do that? So they went and asked him, and this man responded and he said, لِأَنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ وَأَنَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ بِهَا. Because it describes Ar-Rahman, it describes Allah. This is a surah speaking about Allah. Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid Wa Lam Yulad Wa Lam Yakul Lahu Kufwan Ahad. And I love to read this surah because of the love I have for Allah. You see, this man, how did he love Allah? How was his love for Allah increased? From Surah Al-Ikhlas. Idhan Al-Quran. It increases your love for Allah. So he only began to love Allah and increase in his love for Allah after this surah of four ayat, Surah Al-Ikhlas, because it speaks about the greatest matter on earth and in the heavens, and that is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, أخبروه أن الله يحبه. Go and inform him and tell him that Allah azza wa jal loves him. Allahu Akbar. He increased in his love for Allah, and he earned Allah's love through what? One surah. Surah Al-Ikhlas. Don't you and I read this surah every day? We read this surah every single day. Tayyib, focus next time when you read it. Know why you are reading it. Because it explains and discusses the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It speaks about Allah's names and attributes. And so your love for Surah Al-Ikhlas should be because of your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, فَإِذَنْ reading the Qur'an and pondering over its meaning increases your love for Allah and earns you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that the one who reads Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ 10 times, Allah builds for him a house in the paradise. And the one who reads it 3 times earns the reward as though he read the entire Qur'an. Allahu Akbar. Why? Why does that have such a huge reward? Because once again, it speaks about the greatest matter ever known to this universe. And that is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiyallahu anhu, he said, إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانُوا يَقْرَؤُونَ الْكِتَابِ. Or he said, رَأَوْا الْقُرْآنَ رَسَائِلَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. That those before us, they used to see this Qur'an as messages from their Lord. That's how they used to observe this Qur'an. As message. It's a message. It's a letter from Allah Azza wa Jal to you. And how are you going to love Allah if you are not reading His message? And how are you going to love Allah if you do not read His message? And the book, this Qur'an, was revealed for our guidance. Subhanallah. Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu anhu, he said, تقرب إلى الله ما استطعت وعلم أنك لن تتقرب إليه بشيء هو أحب إليه من كلامه. Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu anhu, he said, تقرب إلى الله بما استطعت. Draw close to Allah Azza wa Jal with whatever you're able to. يعني pray, fast, zakat, charity, look after the good, do the good, look after the poor, do good deeds. Draw nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal with whatever you're able to do. And then he said, wa'lam. But you better know that there is nothing that will bring you close to Allah Azza wa Jal more than His word, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing will bring you close to Allah Azza wa Jal than His word. Al-Qur'an, the word, the Qur'an. And this is why the first command to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Iqra', Iqra', before Allah Azza wa Jal said to him, Usjud waqtarib. Before Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pray and make sujood, and before He commanded him to give zakat and hajj and all the deeds that we know in Islam, before all of this, Allah said to him, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read. Because if you don't read the Qur'an, how are you going to know about the other matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves? Then nothing will bring you close to Allah and earn you Allah's love and develop love in your heart for Allah more than the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you read the Qur'an while you ponder and reflect and understand what you're reading, and most importantly, implement what you're reading. Your concern should not be to reach to the end of the page or the end of a surah. That's not your concern. Your concern should be read a couple of ayat, ponder over them and understand them. Do tadabbur of the ayat. This is how you increase your love for Allah, by tadabbur over this Quran. What does tadabbur mean? Tadabbur, we always hear that tadabbur al-Quran, to ponder over the Qur'an, reflect over the Qur'an. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, وَمَا تَدَبُّرُ آيَاتِهِ إِلَّا بِاتِّبَاعِهِ. The highest degree of pondering over the Qur'an is to implement the Qur'an. This is it. This is what pondering the Qur'an means. It means to apply it in your life, to implement the Qur'an in your life. يعني when you read قوله تعالى, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, that one of the qualities of the believers is that they establish the prayer. And then when you get up and you hear the adhan and you make wudu and you pray salat al-dhuhr or salat al-asr, remembering the word of Allah that the believers establish as-salat, alladhina yuqimun as-salat, this is the highest degree of tadabbur al-Qur'an. You have now pondered over the Qur'an. The highest degree of pondering over the Qur'an is to implement it in your life. When you read from Surah Al-Muddathir, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and declare the greatness of your Lord. When you sit down and you begin to say, Allahu Akbar, and now you are doing tadabbur of the Qur'an. You're implementing what the Qur'an has called you to. Na'am, for this is tadabbur al-Qur'an. And when you ponder over the Qur'an, meaning when you implement this Qur'an, your love for Allah Azza wa Jal begins to increase. And you earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love in return. For this is very important for us. And we need to understand, this is the whole purpose for why the Qur'an was revealed. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ. This is a remarkable book that we had revealed and sent down to you. Allahu Akbar, look at the honor to you. إليك, for what reason? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so that they may ponder over its ayat. You see, not to ponder over the entire thing, to ponder over the ayat. يعني, there's a deeper relationship here. Don't just ponder over the Qur'an as a whole. Have a relationship with every ayah that's in the Qur'an. يعني, take it easy. Read 2-3 ayat today. Read the tafsir and go and implement them during the day and the night. Yalla, tomorrow read 3-4 ayat. Keep them here in your heart. And then throughout the day and throughout the night, you recall these ayat and you begin to implement them in your life. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And you know what is sad, my brothers and sisters in Islam? Wallah, this is a fact. I read this many years ago and I think it'll shock you if you hear it. Wallah, it's a shock to me when I read it years ago. It's still in my mind until today. And that is, someone wrote and he said, it is very sad to know that the book that is read the most on earth without understanding is the Quran. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The book that is read the most on earth without understanding it is the Quran. For the believer should not be like this. The believer is someone who wants to understand what he reads. And this will keep you motivated to continue reading. Otherwise, when people complain, I can't read Quran. I can't memorize Quran. I've given up. Help me. Tell me, how do I stay connected with the Quran? Yahi, there is no way to stay connected with the Quran unless you read and understand what you're reading. Can you imagine, I gave you a newspaper in a Chinese language and I said, read it. And let's say you knew how to read Chinese, but you did not understand. Wallah, it'd become boring. If I told you, sit down in front of the TV and listen to 10 minutes of Chinese news, right, in the Chinese language, well, you're not going to understand anything. In 2 minutes, you will be bored. فالقرآن, if you don't understand the Qur'an, this explains why people have become bored. And it explains why people have neglected the Qur'an. Because they don't understand. فمake sure you're understanding what you read. يعني, it's better to read and understand what you're reading than to read the entire Qur'an not understanding what you're reading. So if you like to read the Qur'an, that's all right. Read as much as you want and give that a separate time. Then you should have another time with the Qur'an in where you're solely focusing on reading and understanding and implementing. Now, so that's the first way in how you increase your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reading this Qur'an and understanding its meanings and implementing it in your life. And in the same at the same time, you earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. The second way to increase your love for Allah Azza wa Jal, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, he said, drawing closer to Allah Azza wa Jal through voluntary deeds after fulfilling the obligations. Now, this is very important. The voluntary deeds. The more voluntary deeds you do, the more your love for Allah increases, and in return, you earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this in a hadith, I'll read the hadith to you from the beginning so we can understand how it all connects with each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man 'ada li waliyan faqad adhantuhu bil harb." Listen, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said, "Whoever shows enmity to a friend, wali, to a friend of mine, I have declared war against him." The hadith is speaking about awliyaullah. It is speaking about the friends of Allah, those who Allah is going to defend and protect. Who are these people? Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَطُّهُ عَلَيْهِ. That my servant does not grow and draw closer and nearer to me with anything more beloved to me than the duties I have imposed upon him. يعني the only thing that will bring you close to Allah Azza wa Jal is by implementing the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated upon us. Al-fara'id, the obligations. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And my servant continues to draw closer to me with extra good deeds, with the voluntary deeds, النَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, until I love him. Allahu Akbar. Until I love him. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as in this hadith, وَمَا يَزَالُ, my servant continues to draw nearer to me with voluntary deeds. You see this yazal? It's mudari', it's a present tense, which refers and implies to continuity. Always, always, on the clock. Every single day and night, there is nawafil in your life. And nawafil are many types. There are nawafil concerning the prayer. And of course, the best of them is sunan al-rawatib, that come before and after the obligatory prayers. And they are, there are two opinions here. Some ulama say that they are 10 rak'at. Some say that are 12 rak'at. 10 rak'at, that is 2 rak'at before Fajr, and 2 before Dhuhr, and 2 after Dhuhr, and 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha. That's 10 rak'at. And if we were to speak about the 12 rak'at, then it's the same thing, except that there is 4 rak'at before Salat al-Dhuhr, and it's prayed in twos, two, and you close those off with a taslim, and then another two. This is nawafil concerning the prayers, nawafil. And on Friday, there is no ratibah before Salat al-Jum'ah. But after Salat al-Jum'ah, there is a ratibah, either 2 rak'at or 4 rak'at, up to you. But the idea is, this is how you increase your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through a nawafil. When we come to fasting, there is also nawafil in fasting. Monday and Thursdays, or 3 days of every month, preferably the white days, 13, 14, and 15, right? And then when it comes to charity, there is also nawafil, and that is the general sadaqat that you give throughout the year. And then yani when it comes to hajj, there is a nafila, and that is al-umrah that you can go at any time in your life. Alhamdulillah, now it's open. If you have the means and the ability, go. This is a matter that increases your love for Allah and earns you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. So such people that grow closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through voluntary deeds, Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. You continue to do these voluntary deeds until Allah loves you. And if Allah Azza wa Jal was to love you, He becomes your hearing in which you hear. That means you will only be exposed to hearing that which Allah loves, and Allah will protect your hearing from the haram. Music, backbiting, gossip, slander, whatever it is of words that are haram, Allah will protect you from those gatherings. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. Allah will become your sight in which you see. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal will guide your sight to only see that which pleases Him. You look at the Kaaba, you look into the Qur'an, you look at your parents, you look at the sky. These are all things that Allah loves for the servant to see. And Allah will protect your eyes from that which is haram. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And if Allah was to love the servant after he has done these voluntary deeds, Allah becomes his hand in which he strikes. Meaning Allah would guide your hand to do only that which pleases Allah. And Allah would save your hand and protect it from doing and touching that which is haram. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And Allah Azza wa Jal becomes your leg that you walk with. Once again, meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal would guide your leg to that which pleases him. Walking to the masjid, walking to your parents, walking in service of the Muslims to help them, and whatever it is. And Allah would protect your leg from walking to that which is haram. وَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. And if this servant was to ask me, I will give him what he asked for. وَلَئِن اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if he ever sought my protection from anything harmful, I will give him protection. And if this servant said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Allah would protect him from الشيطان. Then this is the idea. How do you increase your love for Allah? By increasing your voluntary deeds. Voluntary deeds, as-salat, the prayers. And you know, some ulama mentioned, why is it that a person earns Allah's love by doing the voluntary deeds? And this wasn't mentioned for the obligatory deeds. This is a fair question. Because the obligatory deeds are what's obligatory. How come in this hadith it mentions that the voluntary deeds earn you Allah's love? And it didn't mention this for the obligatory deeds. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah answers this for us. He says that it is known if a person was to do a duty upon him, then this is something that is expected from him. This is something that expected. Yani imagine I owed you $1,000. If I gave you this $1,000, I don't earn your love. Because that's something I had to do. I own you that. But if I go out of my way to do extra for you, and I gave you support money, or I did a service for you that you loved, act willingly from my own self, now I'm going to earn your love. You're going to love me because I'm doing things that I'm not obliged to do. So, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah belongs the highest of examples. Of course, the believer earns Allah's love by performing the obligations. But then you earn a special type of love in where you become waliyullah. You become a friend of Allah when you engage in voluntary deeds, because now you went out of your way to doing something extra that wasn't obliged upon you. You see, your five daily prayers and the fasting of Ramadan was zakat once a year. This is a debt we owe Allah Azza wa Jal. We must perform these matters. We don't have a choice in them, right? But now, when you go out of your way to do extra deeds, for sure, this person earns Allah Azza wa Jal's love to the point where we mentioned what kind of benefit such a servant earns. And here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, I want to share something with you. I know that sometimes people commit to nawafil. They commit to voluntary deeds. But then a week, 2 weeks, and then they become lazy and they stop altogether. We need to understand something. How do we be consistent with these voluntary deeds? Look, you need to understand something very important. As-salaf rahimahumullah, they said, إِنَّ لِلْقُلُوبِ إِقْبَالًا وَإِدْبَارًا. That it is the nature of the heart. Sometimes it has iqbal. It has power. It has strength. It wants to come onto this worship. You've got the energy to pray the whole night, to read the entire Quran. Sometimes the heart, it has this sort of energy. It has iqbal upon the worship. It can come and embrace this worship easily. And then there are some moments in where this heart is described as idbar. It turns away. It gets tired. It gets lazy. It neglects the worship. You know, it's struggling. It's weak. So what does this mean? We need to know. You need to know your heart so that you can understand what are you supposed to do during these times. Look, when you find strength in your heart, embrace the worship. Go ahead. Don't stop. Fast what you can. Give the charity as much as you can. Read Quran as much as you can. Understand, implement. Do the voluntary deeds. Continue. Grow. And when you find your heart has become weak and it's turning away, during this time, make sure that you are perfecting the obligations and that you are consistent upon the obligations and adhering to the obligations, right? Because this is a state of the heart. Sometimes it's strong, sometimes it's weak. But the main thing is when it's weak, make sure you are on top of your obligations. And then when you find strength again, ask Allah to give you strength. Say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Make dua. Then go ahead in the voluntary deeds once again. So you need to understand the state of the heart. It's not that you're a bad person or that something has happened. No, that's the heart. Sometimes it has strength, sometimes it has weakness. But make sure during the times of weakness that you are still adhering to the obligations and doing that which is the bare minimum. Now, and for the obligations, for the voluntary deeds, choose for yourself a limit. Make a limit for yourself. Yani, say to yourself, I'm going to read Quran one juz' a day, half a juz' a day. My brother and sister, it doesn't matter. Say to yourself, I'm going to read one page a day. But be consistent. And every single day do that. Say you're going to pray Sunan al-Rawatib, right? How many of them? What are you going to pray? Sunnat al-Fajr, the two raka'at before, alhamdulillah, stick to it. And then increase every week, every 2 weeks, increase something until you get them all complete, right? This is very important for you to do so that you do that every day. And if you find strength within yourself, you increase that day. You pray all Sunan al-Rawatib. You read maybe one juz. And if you find weakness in yourself, then you go back to your standard that you set, which is one page of reading the Quran a day, which is Sunnat al-Fajr. Of course, Sunnat al-Ratiba, the two raka'at before Salat al-Fajr. Yani, at least have a standard for yourself. Now, concerning the voluntary deed. The third matter that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned that increases the servant's love for Allah and earns him Allah Azza wa Jalla's love is to be continuous in the dhikr, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with your tongue, with your heart, and with your limbs, under all circumstances. The more dhikr of Allah you make, the more the love for Allah Azza wa Jal in your heart develops and intensifies. This is very important, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Dhikrullah on the tongue, in the heart, on the limbs is going to increase your love for Allah dramatically and earn you Allah Azza wa Jal's love. You see, it is known, and this is nature of mankind, that whoever loves something will always speak about it. If someone always speaks about women, meaning he loves women. If someone is always speaking about cars, that means he loves cars. If someone is always speaking about travel, and we went this, and we're going to go here next, meaning he loves travel. And if someone is always speaking about soccer and sport, and I don't know what it is, this means he loves sport. This is human nature. When you love something, you begin to speak about it. And you research it, and you look into its news, and so on. Someone that loves cars always is speaking about cars, researching what are the latest cars that came out, what's the new design, what's the new technology. That's how it is. And so whoever is in consistent dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal means that he truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal. When you're always mentioning Allah, speaking about Allah, when you're always engaged in dhikrullah, that's a good sign that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be sure and know this fact, that you will die upon that which you love. And so if you loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are always making mention of him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and bi-idhnillah, you will die upon the love of Allah. You will die upon la ilaha illallah. And the most beloved words to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the Quran are subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa hunna min al-Quran. And they are from the Quran. They are the most beloved words to Allah Azza wa Jal. He loves to hear these words from the servant. So you earn his love, and your love for him increases by sitting down and saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, contemplating over its meaning. Remember, because we said, dhikr of the tongue and the heart. The heart, engage your heart with the dhikr. And you know, it's fine to make dhikr with your tongue without the heart present. Yani if your heart is distracted or busy somewhere else, or you're not contemplating the meanings and you're just saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, as you're driving in your car, or as you're walking to the masjid, or you're walking anywhere else, or you're in the shopping malls and you're saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, there is reward in this. There is reward in this. But the best form of dhikr is the dhikr that combines both the tongue and the heart. You're pondering over that which you are saying. You're saying, Alhamdulillah. And you're remembering. You're remembering Allah's blessings upon you. And you're trying to say Alhamdulillah for each one of them. And you're remembering how everything in the universe is praising Allah with Alhamdulillah. Right? So now you're making dhikr of Allah with your tongue and with your heart. And we need to be very careful that we don't abandon dhikrullah. The munafiq was described as someone la yadhkuruna Allah illa qalila. They remember Allah little. Hardly do they remember Allah. And so you don't want to be from that category. Nor do you want to adopt the qualities of al-munafiqeen. It is the munafiq who remembers of Allah a little. As for the believer, he remembers Allah much. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udhkuru Allah dhikran kathira, Allah says. Remember Allah much. Wal ulama rahimahumullah, such as Ibn Salah rahimahullah, he said, whoever reads adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' and the adhkar before sleep and the adhkar after the obligatory prayers, such a person is included among those who Allah referred to as remembering Allah much. وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. إذن, يعني, this is the minimum that a believer is supposed to be upon. أذكار الصباح, the supplication of the morning and the afternoon, and the ones before you sleep, and the dhikr after every obligatory prayer, these are the minimums. And then increase on this. أذكار, you enter the bathroom, you come out, you enter the car, you leave the car, you enter your house, you leave the house, you wear on your clothes before you eat, after you eat, before you drink, after you drink. All of these moments in life, there are adhkar, so that we're always connected with Allah, so that we always increase our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, my brothers and sisters in Islam, someone implements the adhkar all day and all night. So when he wakes up, there is adhkar. Before he enters the bathroom, there is a dhikr. Then he enters the bathroom, he finishes what he needs to do, then he makes wudu, he comes out, there is a dhikr after the wudu and a dhikr after leaving the bathroom. Then you go and you dress yourself and there's a dhikr for that. Then you go and you want to eat your breakfast, there is a dhikr before this, bismillah. And then you eat your breakfast and after that, there is a dhikr. Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa. And then you want to leave your house to go to work, and there is a dhikr as you leave the house. And then you jump in the car, and there's a dhikr. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina munqalibun. And then you walk into your, wherever you're going, to the mall, to the supermarket, to the shop, and there is a dhikr as you walk in. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamdu yuhyi wa yumit biyadihi al-khayru wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahu Akbar, if you lived your life like this, can you see how every single moment you are making dhikr of Allah? How can such a person not increase in his love to Allah Azza wa Jal? Most definitely, you will just be forced that your heart will experience this intensified love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So be careful to neglect dhikrullah Azza wa Jal. My brothers and sisters, we're Muslims. We're Muslims. We live life different to everyone else. We're always connected with Allah Azza wa Jal. And what connects us with Allah is the Quran, is our prayers, is our worships, our dhikr of Him. Otherwise, how do you think you're going to connect with Allah Azza wa Jal? Then it's worth sitting down and memorizing the adhkar of the day and the night, and what you're supposed to say for every place you go and visit, and teach your children from a young age, so that when they grow up, they know as well what to say. Not like people nowadays. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We ask Allah to forgive us and to forgive our shortcomings. But how many people don't know? How do they don't know the dhikr? What do I say after I eat? I don't know. Some people don't know. Some people don't know what to say when they wear. When you look at the mirror, there's a dhikr. اللهم أحسن خلقي كما أحسنت خلقي. So much ignorance and heedlessness. I think this is very important for a course to be conducted concerning the dhikr of the Muslim during the day and during the night. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the ability and the strength to do something like this. But inshallah ta'ala, perhaps we will, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, do something along these lines. My brothers and sisters in Islam, look, I give you something important so you can understand the seriousness of neglecting dhikrullahi Azza wa Jal. Imagine you had a close friend of yours. All of a sudden this friend said to you, look, don't call me anymore. Don't talk to me anymore. Don't even mention my name on your tongue. Delete my number from your phone. Yani the idea is, when you're not making dhikr of Allah, and the mention of Allah has been deleted and removed from your tongue, this is a sign that Allah has turned away from you. And He has turned you away from Him. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So don't reach a stage in where you're not making dhikr of Allah. You've been deprived of making dhikr of Allah on your tongue. When we all know that the most beloved words to Allah are subhanAllah, Allah loves to hear them from the servant. There's danger in neglecting dhikr Allah. It's not healthy. It's no good for your relationship with Allah. It's no good for the heart. Allahu Akbar. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي. I am with my servant whenever he remembers me. فَإِن ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي. If the servant remembers Allah in his heart, Allah would remember him in himself. Allah would remember him inwardly. Allahu Akbar. وَإِن ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِّنْهُ. And if the servant was to remember me among a gathering and make my mention among a gathering, يعني هك, when you sit among your friends, speak about Allah. When you sit with your family, speak about Allah. When was the last time you sat with your mother and father and you all spoke about Allah? When was the last time you sat with your spouse and discussed the greatest topic on earth, and that is Allah? When? So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as Allah said, and whoever makes mention of me among a gathering, I will make mention of him among a gathering much better than his gathering. Yani he'll make mention of you among the angels. Allahu Akbar. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He accept this gathering from us today. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He make this gathering of us today a sign of our love for Him. Because in this live stream of ours, we didn't gather today to speak about our parents, about worldly business, about trade. We gathered only to speak about Allah and our love for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He make mention of us among the angels. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the fourth matter that increases your love for Allah and earns you Allah's love is إِثَارُ مَحَابِّهِ, to give preference to what Allah loves over your own personal loves and desires. When you are being overcome by your desires. Meaning, at the time of Fajr, you love to sleep and love to rest. But you know that Allah loves from you to be standing and praying Salat al-Fajr for the men among the Muslims, for the women, better for them to pray in their houses. So you love to sleep, but you got up and you made wudu and you prayed Salat al-Fajr on time. This increases your love for Allah and earns you Allah's love, because you have preferred what Allah loves over what you love. You know, you love to eat and drink, and you know that Allah loves for you to fast Mondays and Thursdays, 3 days of every month. So if you, and it doesn't even have to be Monday and Thursday, it could be just any day. Choose a day and fast. Fast. While knowing that your body loves to eat and drink, but Allah loves you to fast. So today I'm going to prefer what Allah loves over what I love. And this, if you do this consistently, it increases your love for Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, you have money in your pockets. Yeah, you have money. And you say, you know what? I love this money. I have $100. I can spend it on myself and buy something for myself. But Allah loves that I give it in His cause. Not that He needs it. But I need to prove that I love Allah Azza wa Jal more than I love myself and love this money for myself. So if you gave this $100 sadaqah fi sabilillah, that means you have preferred what Allah loves over what you love. And your love for Allah increases. Do this every week. Every week, do something, do something. Get out of this comfort zone you're in. And prefer what Allah loves over what you love. It's very important to do. And that's how you earn Allah Azza wa Jalla's love. And you increase your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth matter Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned is contemplating and applying the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal in your life. Oh, this is very important, very important. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, yani, in other words of his, he explains this matter. You need to be aware of something. Look, look, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal loves his attributes and his names. Obviously, this is why he called himself with such names and gave himself such attributes. And he loves to see the effects of his attributes on his sleeves. He loves for the sleeves to apply his names in their lives. And the most beloved people to Allah are those who apply Allah's names in their lives. What does that mean? Meaning when you know that from the names of Allah is Al-Ghafoor, the All-Forgiving. So you begin to forgive those who wronged you because you want to apply this name of Allah in your life. This is the most beloved servants to Allah. When you know Allah is Al-Kareem, all generous. So you go and you want to be generous to mankind. You want to be generous to people because Allah's name is Al-Kareem. Now you have applied Allah's name and attribute in your life. And this is the most beloved servant to Allah Azza wa Jal. When you know that one of the names of Allah is Al-Haleem, Al-Sabur, the one who is patient. And so you begin to practice patience with those around you because that's one of the names of Allah. So you are now applying a name of Allah in your life. And Allah Azza wa Jal loves such people. And your love for Allah would increase because you are doing a name of Allah. You are practicing literally a name of Allah and an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you know Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Aleem, the all-knowledgeable, and so you go and you seek knowledge because you want to apply this name of Allah in your life. Allah is Al-Aleem. Therefore, He loves those who seek knowledge. That's the principle. And there is a story that Al-Ashaj ibn al-Qais, radiyallahu anhu, a companion, he came to visit the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He came, him and a group, friends of him. So when they arrived to outside Al-Madinah, outside the Masjid al-Nabawi, his companions, the friends, they quickly ran to the Masjid to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this Sahabi, Al-Ashaj ibn al-Qais, he stayed back. He tied the camels, he fixed the bags, he arranged everything. He took his time. And then he came into the Masjid late. And then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, إِنَّ فِيكَ خِصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهِ. You have two attributes that Allah loves. الْحِلْمُ وَالْحَيَاءِ. Forbearance, patience. يعني you didn't rush. You see how he took his time? He arranged everything. He tied the camels. And then he came to the masjid after all this, where his friends just left everything and ran. So he has الْحِلْمُ وَالْحَيَاءِ. And he has modesty. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, you have these two qualities that Allah loves. So then Al-Ashaj radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, are these two qualities, do I have them recently from what I just did now, or do I have them long time ago? He said, you've had them for a very long time. So then he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi jabalani ala khislatayn yuhibbuhum Allah wa rasuluhu. He said, Alhamdulillah that Allah has given me, has made it a nature of me and instilled within me these two qualities that Allah loves. Hilm, patience, forbearance, and modesty. See, so the idea is Allah Azza wa Jal loved this man because he was applying Allah's names in his life. These are two names of Allah. Al-Hilm, Al-Halim, Wal-Haya. Allah Azza wa Jal in the hadith, Inna Allah Hayyun, Allah is shy. For these are names of Allah and he applied them in his life and Allah Azza wa Jal loved him as a result. This is a very important principle to understand, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And that's what we're supposed to do with the 99 names of Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that Allah has 99 names. Man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. Whoever collects and gathers these names enters the paradise. What does ahsaha mean? Ahsaha doesn't mean to put the 99 names on a paper and then stick it on the wall, or to memorize the names and that's it. La. Ahsaha means to learn these 99 names of Allah and apply them in your life and make dua to Allah through these names. You say, Ya Ghafoor, Ighfirli. Ya Rahim, Irhamni. Ya Alim, Allimni. You make dua. This is how you apply these names in your life. And then you know Allah is Al-Alim. Go and seek knowledge then. Applying the name of Allah Al-Alim in your life. Right now, so this is also, يعني, we said, the fifth way of increasing your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sixth way of increasing your love for Allah and earning Allah azza wa jal's love is recognizing and remembering the favors and bounties of Allah upon you, both the apparent and the hidden. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the pure hearts, they love those who do good to them. The one who has a pure heart would always love and feel indebted to the one who does good for them. You know, if someone went out of his way and did you a favor, a huge favor, you love that person and you thank him. Not only that, you'll say, brother, sister, give me your number. Give me your number. I want to keep contact with you. I want to call you. If you ever need anything, please call me. You feel embarrassed to just say to them, Jazakum Allah khair, salam alaikum, Allah go. You want to get them a gift because they did you a favor. Pure hearts are like this. They love those who do good to them. So the idea is, when we remember the good Allah has done to us, it increases our love for Allah. We'll be embarrassed to just say, you know what, I'll say Alhamdulillah and that's it. We'll be embarrassed. Rather, you'll get up and practically thank Allah. Literally, through your salat, through your fasting, through your worships, through your sadaqat. Because all the forms of worship are a means of showing gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And look into your past, look into your past. Look how much favors and blessings Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon you. Allah Azza wa Jal says to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. He's reminding Rasulullah, look in your past. Didn't Allah find you an orphan and he gave you shelter? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And didn't he find you lost? You were seeking something and then he guided you through the Quran. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And didn't he find you عَائِلًا poor فَأَغْنَى, and he enriched you through the marriage to Khadija radiallahu anha and other means. So look into your past. Look at the favors Allah has bestowed upon you. And the more you reflect over what Allah Azza wa Jal has given you and what He has done for you in the past and now and today and tomorrow and every second of your life, you begin to love Allah more and more and more if your heart is pure. Because the pure hearts love those who do good for them. What about if it's the case of Allah Azza wa Jal? The one has done all good for you. the one who every single good that you have received was from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it came through people, it was Allah who sent these people to. Allahu Akbar. Now, the seventh matter that increases your love for Allah and earns you Allah's love, and this is the greatest matter of all, and that is to humble yourself and be submissive before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humble yourself before Allah azza wa jal. And that is exactly what worship is all about. What's the purpose of worship? It is just to humble you before Allah azza wa jal. That's the purpose of it. You know, it was said that Abu Talib, he refused to accept Islam because he did not want to do sajda and ruku'ah. That wasn't a nice position for him. He said, how am I going to do ruku'ah and my backside is in line with my head? And then how am I going to make sujood when my backside is on top of my head? This is a humiliation. This is a disgrace. He didn't humble himself to Allah Azza wa Jal. We need to understand the worships. The purpose of them is to humble us, especially as salat, when we're going into sujood. Also, and that's when your forehead is smothered into this earth and into the dirt. It was narrated that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he made sujood on many things. One of the things he made sujood on was mud that reminds you of your origin and your beginning. That was your beginning, mud. That's how you started, subhanAllah. That's the greatest matter. That's how you'll increase love for Allah, by humbling yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, worship in Arabic is called ibadah. And ibadah comes from the word abada, and that could also be derived or made into the form of mufa'al, like mu'abbad. You know, the word ibadah, the word mu'abbad comes from ibadah, mu'abbad. What does mu'abbad mean? In Arabic, they say tariqun mu'abbad, ay mudhallal. A road that is described as mu'abbad, it means it's flattened, it's smooth, and you can walk on. So, the road that is mu'abbad is a road that is flattened. The idea is this. Before the road was flattened, it was rough, it was rigid, it was rough terrain. You couldn't drive on it, you couldn't walk on it. Then, when they flattened the road, and now you can drive easily on it, that's when the road is described as mu'abbad. The idea is that the slave of Allah initially is ungrateful. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Human being is ungrateful. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. The slave of Allah is ظَلُوم, كَفَّار. He's ungrateful. He is wrongdoing, arrogant, sinful. This is the slave. He's rough. He's rigid. And when he worships Allah, remember ibadah mu'abbad, it flattens him. It flattens him. So, you know, to the point where your nose is making contact with the earth for Allah. Even by nature, the human being is rough, right? Valum, kaffar, ungrateful, sinner. When he begins to worship Allah, his entire character flattens and he becomes humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal commands us to be humble to our parents. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلْ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. So imagine how much more are we supposed to be humble to Allah. If this is your parents, Allah told you, be humble to them. Lower the wings of humility out of mercy for them. So how much more humility are we supposed to have with Allah azza wa jal? The eighth matter that increases your love for Allah and earns you Allah's love is to be in seclusion when reciting the Qur'an during the times in which Allah descends to the lowest heaven, and that is the last third of the night, and finishing reciting the Qur'an by seeking Allah's forgiveness and repenting to Him. That's one of the means. Allahu Akbar. Seclusion. This is it. The point is seclusion. That's one of the ways to increase your love for Allah and to increase your sincerity as well. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he was a prophet, he said, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ الْخَلَاء. I was made to love seclusion. And so that's why he went to غَار حِرَاء. أَنْ يَتَعَبَّدُوا الْلَيَالِ ذَوَاتِ الْعَدَدِ. And he used to worship Allah in that cave, alone, for months and months on end, 6 months. He loved seclusion. And so read the Quran alone before Salat al-Fajr. Before Salat al-Fajr. You know, come to the masjid on Friday really early and read Quran, make dhikr, Salat ala Rasulillah. The greatest reward ever known in Islam for a voluntary deed is to come early for Salat al-Jumu'ah. The one who comes early and has a shower before this, man bakkara wabtakar, wa ghassala wa ghtasal, and you come close to the minbar and you listen to the imam attentively and you do not play around or fidget or be distracted with anything else. Such a person, for every step he took to the masjid, it earns him the reward as though he fasted one entire, for every step, as though he fasted the entire year and prayed the entire night. Say, if that's 1,000 steps, you earn 1,000 years of fasting all those days of 1,000 years and praying all the nights of 1,000 years. Seclusion, come early. Come early before the adhan, so that you're just by yourself and alone. Very important, especially the last third of the night. Because there are two special things here. Number one, when you're doing sujood in the last third of the night, as you're in salat and you go into sujood, that's the closest you are to Allah. And in another hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the closest the servant is to Allah is in the last part of the night. So this is two closenesses. One, that is the end of the night. That's a moment to be close to Allah. And a sujood, that's another moment to be close to Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, how close can a person be to Allah azza wa jal? There is nothing closer to Allah than this time in that position. Allahu Akbar. So this is very important, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Number nine, two more bi-ithnillah. How to increase your love for Allah and earn Allah's love. The ninth one, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, to sit in gatherings of true and sincere lovers of Allah, reaping the fruits of their speech. Yani to sit in the gatherings of al-ulama, to sit in the gatherings of knowledge, and that you do not speak in these gatherings except if what you're going to speak is going to be a benefit that will increase you in goodness and benefit those around you. So sit in gatherings that remember Allah Azza wa Jal, that will increase your love for Allah. And encourage each other to do good in these gatherings. Encourage each other. Let's fast tomorrow. Let's visit a sikh. Let's attend the janazah. Let's read of a book of knowledge together. Let's attend a lesson, feed the poor, read Quran together, whatever it is. These gatherings are very important. They're not something small. They increase your love for Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal loves such people. Subhanallah. And the 10th matter, and this is the final one that we're mentioning for today, is to stay clear of all those causes which distance the heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep away from everything that distances you from Allah. When you keep away from that which distances you from Allah, your love for Allah increases and Allah azza wa jal loves you in return. So the diseases of the heart, keep away from them. Showing off, which is the ostentation, keep away from it. Allah hates showing off. The worship should only be done for Allah and no one else. Arrogance, keep away from arrogance. The one who has an ant's weight of arrogance in his heart doesn't enter the paradise. Hatred for the believers, keep away from that. Boycotting the Muslims, keep away from this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man hajara fawqa thalath famata dakhala an-nar." Anyone who boycotts a brother or a sister of his for more than 3 days and dies enters the hellfire. This is a major sin. It's a major sin. Not entering the hellfire eternally, but there is punishment of the fire. Jealousy, keep away from jealousy. Allah hates it, because when you're jealous, you are displeased with what Allah has given others. And you're supposed to be pleased with the qadr of Allah and what He's given others and what He's given you. These are qualities that Allah hates. And He hates this quality in the believers. So keep away from all that which distances the heart from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that would increase your love for Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal would love you in return. Wallahu a'lam. We will end here, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Jazakum Allahu khaira. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this gathering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to instill within our hearts love for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us His love. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us strength and power and ability that we continue worshipping Him and mentioning Him and making dhikr of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayhi wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wallahu a'lam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.